Welcome back, everyone, to World of Radio. And tonight we have a special guest, Stephanie Lombard. The song you just heard was her song, Closer. And if you like what you heard, you can follow on all your platforms that you listen to music. And I'm going to open up her mic to have a great conversation and play music you can get from me. This artist. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Is the connection okay?
The connection's fine.
Okay, your end keeps cutting in and out a little bit, so it's a little hard to hear sometimes.
So, the last we were supposed to do the interview, we had issues, but here now, people need to know who you are, though. I know you have been, but my listeners don't know you, so we want them to know you because you do music.
Right, right. And I'm sorry, the connection is pretty bad. I'm missing every other word that you're saying.
You can't hear me through the mic?
I could hear you, but it's coming in and out.
Okay, so let me, hold on one second.
Okay.
Can you hear me a different way? I don't know why you got it.
Can you try now?
Can you hear me clearly now?
A little bit. Yeah, it seems to be a little bit better.
That's good. So for the new people that's listening to your music, I want them to know how long you've been at this.
Oh, sure. So I've been a musician for many years. Started playing piano when I was really little, like 3 or 4 years old. And then I started to write music much later, though, when I was like in my early 20s, which was back in like around 2010 or so. And I was listening to a lot of different music at the time, and I really started to dive into different genres. I mean, I had learned a lot of different other types of music on the piano, like classical and contemporary and things like that. But when I started writing my own music, it was so freeing. It was such a new experience for me, and I really fell in love with the process. It was something to kind of just dive into creatively. So to start arranging new pieces and come up with lyrics or a melody to something, it really, really was a lot of fun. So I decided I wanted to go forward with it. And then I started singing along to the songs, too, because at the time there was really no other vocalist. And I always wanted to sing, so I kind of taught myself some vocals. And so I've been doing it ever since.
That's good to know that you're self-taught. But
yes.
At any point in time, did you think about getting lessons?
I did have vocal lessons a few times with some different teachers over the years, and it was good. I found that really practicing on my own and finding my own style was the best thing for me. But I still do a lot of rehearsing on a weekly basis. And for piano, though, I was taking lessons for many years. I was doing private lessons for many years with that. So, it was a variety of different things.
Do you ever think about other instruments besides the piano?
I have, like, for example, when I was in middle school, I was doing violin, and my father was also a musician, so he would play guitar and rhythm guitar and bass guitar, and I always wanted to learn that as well, and I picked up the bass guitar a couple of times, and, you know, I'd play a couple of notes here and there, nothing too crazy, but I would love to really learn that, too, one day.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when did you hit the stage for the first time?
Oh, so the first time I ever performed solo was when I was 14. It was at Eisenhower Park, which is in Nassau County on Long Island, and it's an amphitheater that they have there. They have an outdoor amphitheater. They have a lot of free shows, I should say. And this one summer, I'd never performed solo before this, and I decided to sign up for this talent show that they had, where they had singers and dancers, and I was one of two piano players in the show. And I put together an arrangement of different songs. It was a medley of Billy Joel and a few other pieces that were really popular at the time. And that was the first time I ever performed live by myself. And I think there were hundreds of people in the audience that night, but the reception that they gave to me when I was playing these different songs was so much fun. It was phenomenal. They were really right there with me, clapping along. And I said, this is what I want to do. And ever since then, I have performed in bands. I've done solo work, of course, especially right before the pandemic hit. I actually did a showcase at the Roslyn Hotel, and that was sort of like my first breakout show as a solo artist. So that was a lot of fun, too. So I've been doing a lot of different musical things throughout my music career so far, and that's still a lot that I still want to pursue.
And how many albums have you dropped so far that the people can go listen to?
So I have different singles out. I guess this could, you know, all these songs that I have out so far could be part of an album, but they're more like singles that I had just released over the years, and that could be found on YouTube and Spotify and anywhere you could find music. And on YouTube, that's where you could find all the music videos that go along with those songs, too. So
that's, I really like that.
It's a lot of fun.
See, this station is catered to the indie artists, and the reason why I did that is because they don't get the recognition they deserve. And,
you know,
mainstream radio won't play them unless they have a big buzz behind them. And
right.
See, the consumers of music are missing out on great artists such as yourself.
Well, thank you.
Spotify, when people, you know, add their music, they do like a playlist with new artists, and, your song may be on that playlist. So that's how people might come across who you are.
Right, exactly.
Whatever artist is out, just play their music. It shouldn't be, oh, they have to have a buzz. We are the consumers. We don't know if they're good or not. We know if they're good or not.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones spending the money to buy the music.
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing it so we can hear and say, yes, we like it, or no, we don't like it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree, and I appreciate you doing these types of interviews with independent artists because it is important, and, you're really giving us a voice and letting us expand our audience because of it, and it actually reminds me of a web show that I put together several years ago for that specific reason. I would interview independent artists on the show and talk about their stuff and their work and everything and who they are so that they could be exposed to more people, because you hear about the mainstream top 40 people all the time on repeat, but really there's so much more talent out there. So this is really awesome what you're doing. I really appreciate it. And I know that the whole independent community appreciates it too.
So if a major label just said, oh, we heard your music, we like you, we want to sign you, are you taking the deal or are you going to stay independent?
Oh, well, I would have to – that's a big question and a lot to consider, of course. I would just have a conversation with them, and I would want to learn more about their goals, how we can work together. So there would have to be a bigger conversation with that, you know. I mean, I'm definitely open to taking – the music that I produce to the next level in terms of exposure and just, you know, overall, you know, expand, go as far as possible, really. But this interview right now and this what you're doing here on your platform really does help with that.
Because I've seen, you know, a lot of artists come out indie, and then because a big label takes liking, they jump on it and take the deal. And no longer
mm-hmm.
independent because they signed to them. And then they complain later on down the line
mm-hmm.
because they were doing much, even though, you know, money-wise, I know they did it because of the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being an independent, you know, you got to pay for studio time, get your music mixed and mastered, you know, get
mm-hmm.
a press to put it out. I know
mm-hmm.
it costs money.
Yes.
And I see
mm-hmm.
why a lot of artists, you know, independent go jump to major because
mm-hmm.
the major will take care of that.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
And I think about, like, if you were to stay indie, you would own all your music. They would have no control over what you can put out. You have
mm-hmm.
that control. Just gave them
mm-hmm.
the control you had.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That's true. Yeah, I've heard that debate a lot where, if you do have a lot of control independently, of course, with your sound, your style, what you put out, when you put it out, you know, and then, you know, you really have to make sure that if you're going to be managed or you connect with a major label that they have your best interests in mind. So, yeah, that's why it's more, of course, the exposure to have a huge audience and be known worldwide is the ideal thing for some musicians, but you really have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, you know, and your creative ambitions, you know, and but also be open-minded. There's always there has to be a balance, and maybe perhaps that's hard to find sometimes because you want to make the right decision, but you don't always have a clear answer right away, so it takes a little time to get there.
Either of the artists that you have met, have you collabed with any of them?
Yes, actually, the first song that you played, Closer, that's the latest song that I had put out, and I collaborated with a great producer named Corvez for that one. So he created the instrumental, and he and I collaborated on writing the lyrics for it, too, and that was a collaboration that was a long time in the works. I reached out to him a couple of years ago even to say, hey, I love your work. I would love to work with you on something. He's a very well-known producer in the EDM genre of music. So he and I finally connected, and we exchanged notes on this song, and it is what you just heard at the beginning of your show. And I had just put out a music video, released a music video for it last October, which could be found on YouTube and Vivo. And, you know, it's getting some great reviews and feedback, and I'd love for you guys to check it out. So that was a really fun collaboration. In addition to that, I've worked with some other great musicians that sometimes they'll send me an instrumental track and say, tell me to go ahead and write the song lyrics to it and just kind of have free reign over that. And I've already done that twice. The first song was it's called Disguise, and the second one is called Shadow of You. Both are kind of this cool mystery type of vibe, you know, a little rock in there as well, a little different than my glam pop type of style that I usually write originally, but still really, really cool to work together with that artist. So, yeah, so a lot of fun stuff going on.
So glam pop, explain to the people what glam pop is, because there might be some people who don't know.
Sure. Yeah, glam pop is that's my self-titled music genre. It's a mix between dance and rock and roll. And so it doesn't always only describe the type of music, though, or the sound, because it actually talks about the whole performance style in general, too. So when you go to see me perform live, you're going to get a whole, like, immersive experience. I love to connect with the audience. I love to make them feel like they're part of the show. I love everything and anything kind of glamorous with rhinestones, things like that. So it's sort of like that extra notch. It's not just pop music. It's not just dance. It's glam pop and relatable to hopefully almost anyone, because the topics that I sing about kind of range from love to everyday, you know, trial and errors of life. So that's really what glam pop is all about.
I've heard the genre of glam rock. I'm like, glam, what the heck is glam rock? And then you come along and you say glam pop. I'm like, but then when they show who the glam rock artists are, they look like the artists from the 80s.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I guess glam rock is more rock and roll.
So I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, so maybe they are reframing what the 80s rock music was and calling it glam rock.
Right, maybe. For sure.
That's good that you know, gave yourself your own genre. You didn't stick yourself in the already made genre of pop. You gave yourself, you put yourself in your own genre, because you listen to a lot of artists and the music they do don't fit the genre they are put in. And I don't like that, you know, when you listen to somebody's music and say, oh, they're not R&B, they're neo soul, they're not pop, they're this. And it's like, let them, they know what genre they want to be put in. You don't
absolutely
have to put them in that specific genre because you think it sounds like that.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds just like regular old pop, or it might sound just like regular old R&B. So that's what I feel that song should be put under. But, you know, when you're working with these labels, they put you where they think you should go. And this is that's why I like the indie artists, because they have the control that they feel, like you feel one day you're glam pop, or one day you're rock, that's where you want to put the song, you can put it there, and no one's telling you, no, don't do that. No one's going to listen if you put it there. You know, people are still going to listen, because when you're a consumer of music and you love music, no matter what the genre, you're going to listen regardless.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know,
exactly.
And everybody, like you said, they have their own interpretation of, you know, what song or genre a certain song should be in. So, you know, music is art. It could all be fluid, and there's so much open to interpretation. So that's part of why I actually created my own little genre. Well, not, you know, little, you know, but my own genre, essentially, to kind of self-define my own style. So when you think of Stephanie Lombardo, you think of glam pop, and it's all original. It's all, you know, something that you might not hear every day. So, you know, that's why it kind of gives it a little extra edge to it.
Yeah, because I don't like, you know, people putting people in places they don't belong. Just like how you put yourself in your own genre, Fantasia created her own genre. And she created rock soul, because she's more like that. I guess she has that rock and roll feel in her, but she sings R&B. She sings soul music. I sing soul music, R&B. So, and I got a little bit of rock in me. So I'm going to make my genre rock soul.
Yeah, I like that. Exactly. So, yeah, that's what, you know, is so fun and flexible about music. It's, again, it's an art form. It's a way to connect. And also, music is so, they say it's the universal language, but it's so true because sometimes you hear a song, it makes you feel a certain way, and, you know, there's no other way to express yourself other than through a song. And that's how I really connect with people and how I express myself, really, is by writing music, and it's very cathartic.
What is your writing process?
Oh, so there's no definite process per se. It's all kind of in that same idea of being very fluid, where sometimes when I'm about to fall into a deep sleep, I'll think of a song melody, a new melody. It just comes to me. So I'll have to wake myself up and record it or write down some lyrics that I might know or think about. Or I could also be at the piano playing a song I've known for years. And if I make a mistake on one of the chords, but it still sounds good, I'll kind of play around with that and say, oh, I could actually build on this, and a new song is born that way. So there's really no way to, you know, there's no formula to writing music. It's all about surrendering to that inspiration whenever it happens, being open to it. Sometimes you can have an idea about what you want to write about, a certain theme, and go based on that too. You know, a lot of artists will say there's really no formula for it. Sometimes I've written songs in 10 minutes. Sometimes if I'm collaborating with another artist, it'll take over a year to work on, you know. So it really depends, you know. But it's just, you have to have fun with it. You have to, it's like playing, you know. If you're able to experiment and be open-minded to different things, you're going to have the time of your life with it.
Have you ever, like, been somewhere and the idea of a song hit you?
Oh, yeah. As in fact, like, a week or two ago, I was driving, and I had to pull over because I had gotten an idea for a song. And this was a theme that I had in my head for a while, but I finally said, oh, God, okay, this is coming forward now. And it started to really come to fruition with verses and lyrics and everything. So I had to pull over, write it down, record it on my phone, the whole thing. So, yeah, no, it could come anytime if you let it.
That's great, because that's happened to me where I'm watching something, like seeing a scene in a movie or watching TV, and it happens and I have to write.
Exactly. So you're a musician as well.
So I sing. Because, you know, when I was younger, that's what I wanted to do, but then it just came. Then after that, it changed. So I just said, you know, I like to do it just for fun.
Right.
But once I found my voice, I started writing as well. I hadn't written a song in a long time, but whenever, like, something comes to me, I write it, or I'll record it. Like you said, I'll be recording the phone. I'll do the same thing. I had the voice recorder. I record in the voice recorder.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, as you get older, you know, your goals of what you want to do in life change. But some it still stays the same. But for me, you know, it changed, so.
Sure.
And now I'm doing radio.
Yeah. No, it's so true. I mean, our priorities are always changing, you know, from year to year or even month to month, whatever it might be. So life is always evolving, and it's important to keep that open mind, though. So that's really good. I would love to hear you sing one day.
Mm. I think about it.
Oh, okay.
I ain't sing in a while, so, you know, I got to get the pipe.
Ah,
together.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that, yes. You don't want the pipes to get rusty, though, so.
You don't.
No. Cool.
So I want to ask you a fun question. If you could put together your best concert with you as the headliner, who would you add to your concert?
Oh, that's a great question. Could it be somebody alive? It has to be someone alive or someone who's passed?
It could be anybody who you want on the bill.
Oh, boy. Okay. So on the bill, we're going to have Liberace, the great Liberace. He's one of my inspirations and also partly why I call my genre glam pop, because I love anything that's really over the top, fancy, eye-catching. So he was the king of that. It was Mr. Showmanship, you know, that's for sure. And, of course, his piano playing is all about flair and showmanship, and I really try to emulate him as much as I can. Then Elvis Presley would be on the bill. So we have the king of showmanship and then the king of rock and roll. And then I'd have Michael Jackson, who is the king of pop. So we got all music royalty on there. And then I would love to have, I would throw Joan Jett in there because she's a Long Island native, and so am I. And I feel like
I did not know she was a native New Yorker. I did not know
that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And she's from Long Island, where I grew up, too. So, and actually, the show that I had mentioned earlier where I was performing at Eisenhower Park, she was one of the judges there for the show. So I didn't get to meet her, like, face-to-face or shake her hand or anything, but she and I were in the same area, and she actually performed at Eisenhower Park again a couple years ago. So I would put her on there, too. I think she is able to rock and roll and pull off a great show. Tina Turner, even though she's, you know, passed, I think she was a great performer as well. And, I saw Donna Summer several years ago at Jones Beach, and she was phenomenal, too. I would love her. So, oh, man, Joan Jett's the only person that's still with us. But but I think it would be quite a roster of people there.
Yeah, from Liberace, wow.
I know.
And it's all different genres of music.
I know, yeah. So, and, you know, that's my taste, actually. It depends on the mood that I'm in. I could be listening to something that's popular on the radio now or a movie soundtrack. Like, my taste ranges, and I'm a very big fan of 1960s music as well. So there you go. Like, it's, my taste is all over the place, but that's how I've always been. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like,
mm-hmm.
even though I like hip hop, but when I think of, if I was going to do a concert and I want to add hip hop, I think I would go more the old school hip hop route than the new school.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, that becomes classic. You know, the new school anything, it doesn't have legs yet. It doesn't hold too much water. It's still too new, and it's not old enough for it to be appreciated. So, you know, that's why it's good to kind of go back to the roots and think about older stuff that brings back a lot of nostalgia.
So what song of yours should I play next for the listeners?
Oh, well, if you have Heartbreaker, I would love to play that. And this was an interesting one. Another one that has a music video to it. And one of the lyrics is Sweet Fixation Troublemaker. And this song is about a romance, of course. And the person that I kind of had in mind when I wrote this song used to always say to me when we were together, like, that he was in so much trouble. I don't really even till this day know exactly 100% what he meant by that, but I guess it was more of a term of endearment where he would just look at me and say, oh, my goodness, I am in so much trouble. So that's where the term Sweet Fixation Troublemaker came from. So, yeah, we could check that one out.
All right, here we go. Playing Heartbreaker.
Hi.
Did you produce Heartbreaker yourself?
Oh. Well, I wrote it myself and put the musical arrangement to it. And I actually worked with another music producer who brought it to life, so he added all the instrumentation and all the layers to it. So it came out. This person in particular who I worked with on the song, he's able to read my mind musically. You know, I give him some chords and an arrangement, and he's able to really take it to the next level. So I was really happy with how that came out. Thank you for playing it.
Yeah. So when we were supposed to do the interview the first time, so
mm-hmm.
When all the technical stuff was fixed, what I did was, I did a show with just your music, so, and I said to the people, you know, let them know, this is a new artist, so go check you out, you know.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So
thank
you
so much.
Go to the archive,
when people go into the archives, they hear nothing but your music. And if they like what they hear, they can, you know, go wherever you have your music streaming and just listen from there.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I started doing that to give the artists appreciation. So with the well-known artists that we know, like you said, Liberace. So I would do a show for Liberace, but there would be a tribute show. But when I said, I have the music from different indie artists, I'm going to do a show. And call it a appreciation show. Because I appreciate that, you know, they send me their music. And I don't think other radio personalities say this, but I say, like, without y'all, the artists, we have no job on radio.
That's true. That is true, yes. I agree,
without us playing it, like, you still can get the music heard without us playing it on the radio because you have the streaming platform and other ways to get heard.
That's right. That's right.
We do radio without y'all giving us your music. We don't have anything. As far as, you know, as music-wise, we don't have anything music-wise to play anybody because you can't play what's popular because even if you play it, you're going to get copyright infringement because you're not allowed to play it because these record labels think they're trying to make money off of their music and you're just playing it for the masses to hear it, for those who never heard it before, for them to hear it for the first time and start liking the artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if it wasn't for the DJs or radio hosts like yourself, then we wouldn't have our listenership and we wouldn't be able to promote it as much as we do. So that's all thanks to you. And actually, I'm a radio host myself, too. I host a radio show on Saturdays on 90.3 WHPC, and it's called The Party Mix. It airs at 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. And it's all kinds of dance music. So if you are interested in a variety of anything that gets your body moving, then The Party Mix is for you. So, it's a lot of fun. It's nice to have both worlds, you know, music and a radio.
So is that an FM or AM station? I know some people have the, you know, I don't even know, does an AM station still exist?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little bit again, actually.
Well, I was saying, was it FM or AM? Because, and I was like, does the AM stations even exist anymore?
I know. Yeah, they do. They do. I know. It seems very antiquated. the station I'm on is an FM station. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, and the good thing about, you know, a show like yours, it's online, so you get viewers from all around the world, which is excellent.
Every time I check, I'm like, wow, people are listening to me in Japan. Like,
oh,
Japan.
My goodness. That's so cool.
I've seen Japan. I've seen South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. United Kingdom. Like, one of my top ones is always, like, United Kingdom, Canada. Besides the U.S., but, you know, those are easy. And then I look at the other countries. I'm like, Germany? Like, all these other countries, you wouldn't think they listen to. You wouldn't think those countries are listening to, you know, you doing radio. And stuff. Like, wow.
That's
good to know that these indie artists are getting heard in these countries. That if they were on major, but if they wasn't as big as some of the other artists, they wouldn't be heard in those countries.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you have an international audience. That's awesome.
Yep. And they listen, they like all types of music because that's what I play.
Mm-hmm. I play pop, I play rock, I play gospel, I play jazz, I play country.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
A variety of everything.
Yeah. Well, that's why they like it so much. You know, and you can't find a show that has that variety that much anymore. You know, you hear regular radio stations, they all play the same thing almost, or one genre. You know, you have a rock station, you have a pop station. So to really be able to showcase so many different genres, but do it in a way that is loving and, you know, really making each artist shine in their own way is something very special.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
Because I do one show where I would just, you know, do hip, you know, do certain genres by itself, and then I'll do another show where I mix all the genres. So in one show you would hear hip hop, and then you would hear a gospel song. Might play after that, and then a pop song play after the gospel song, and then and for you, you know, for the listeners, they're probably like, huh? I would never think to play a gospel song after a hip hop song. Everybody's taste is not this. When it comes to music, there are people who like everything as long as it's good to them, and there are some people who are stuck on just one genre. I just like this one genre.
Yeah.
But then you catch them because you play a song that has a good production on it with good vocals, and they wind up liking it, even though they don't listen to the genre. They wind up liking it.
That's true. So this must mean that you have a wide taste in different music styles, too.
Yes. Mine start all on the beginning from... From doo-wop all the way to some of the artists that are currently popular. Some, not all, but some of the artists that are currently popular. So you may hear, like I said, you may hear a doo-wop song. I know this song. This is a doo-wop song. And then, then later down the line, you may hear a rock song. But and you probably saying to yourself, the listener, I wouldn't expect those two songs to be played in the same show.
Yeah, but you know what? It's interesting that we're talking about older styles of music, like you mentioned, doo-wop, because I hear in today, some of today's top 40 songs, not all, but I do hear older styles coming back. You know how they say, like, fashion trends sort of come back after a while, but not, you know, the same exact way, but it's sort of similar to music, I'm feeling. For example, you might hear a top 40 song that's out now that has kind of a 70s or / 80s beat to it, which is sort of that retro vibe, but it works so well. Or, you know, a lot of pop songs have synthesizers. Actually, Lady Gaga, who I was listening to a lot back in, like, 2008 when she first came out, she was really heavy on her synthesizers in her first album, and some of her early music is really part of what inspired me to start writing music too, because I fell in love with her storytelling musically. It just resonated with me. I connected right away with her music, and that sort of tapped into a part of me that I didn't know was there before. So, but the point is, those elements of the synthesizers or the old disco beats, you know, all of that is coming back because, you know, you can't not enjoy it and let it make you feel happy. So who knows, maybe a year or two from now we'll be talking about how the doo-wop vibe is back. So you never know.
if I want to ask you another good question. If you can collab right now with any great, like, write for any great artist, who is that artist you would love to have written a song for?
Oh, I would have loved to write a song for. That's another great question. Let me think. Well, okay, I'm gonna say a couple of artists. One is I'm going to bring up Michael Jackson again. I think he was a really good songwriter, but of course, he's no longer with us. So, the only other person that comes to mind is somebody like Miley Cyrus, actually. I'm really into her music now, even from her last album. I think she's come into her own. She's a very good songwriter. I would love to maybe write with her and pick her brain a little bit. And in addition to that, maybe even Adele. I've been listening to a lot of Adele music, and I think she has some good stuff there too. Another artist that's really hot now is Steven Sanchez, or he's on the brink of becoming really, really big. Maybe writing something for him, I think that would be really fun to do.
I have to look him up. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I think you would love him. He sings a song that I'm sure you've heard of before. It's called, hold on, let me look it up here. Steven Sanchez. Until I Found You. If you hear the song, you'll probably recognize it. But, yeah, he's not a household name just yet, but I think he's getting there. So we'll see what happens.
That's good. Now I have a new artist to check out and listen to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So are you going to put out an official album?
I would love to. Maybe that'll be the new goal for 2024. You know, I would definitely love to do that. I have a few other singles that I would like to produce that are kind of in the wings right now. So we could look forward to that. And in the meantime, like I mentioned, all of the songs that I have out currently are on all of the digital platforms, including YouTube. I'd say try to check everything out there because that's where you could find the music videos.
Okay, great. We're going to get into another one of your songs.
Cool.
And let's play Shadow.
Okay.
Dreaming, my heart awakens.
All right, that's Shadow by Stephanie Lombardo.
So what was the concept behind this song?
So this was, excuse me, one of the songs that I worked on with another musician. He's a great artist, a great instrumentalist. His name is Tom Burkus, and he sent me this instrumentation one day and said, here, just write some lyrics to it. So I listened to it, and it had more of like a mystical kind of vibe. And that's when I started writing lyrics, and out came Shadow of You, kind of like a dreamy, ethereal type of energy around it. And it, when I sent it back to him, he said it kind of reminded him more of like a James Bond type of vibe, which I love because that means it, you know, it has that guitar, that electric guitar that he put in there, which sounds fabulous. And I love it. It's one of the ballads that he and I worked on together that I think came out just really great, and very happy with it.
Yeah, because I was listening. I was like, oh, I hear the guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Have you performed this live yet?
I have performed this one live, yes. It's a lot of fun. It's very soulful. I've even performed it acoustically not too long ago on the piano. It was just me and vocals on keys. And it's great. I just pour my heart into it every time I sing it. So
That's great.
Thank you.
So the other song I have of yours, we're not going to play just yet, but I want you to
okay.
tell the listeners about it, is Get Out of Bed.
Ah, okay, yes. that's a great way to introduce it because that's sort of the reaction I get with that song a lot, which is it's a song that the title, I guess, is a bit unusual, Get Out of Bed. But this, what you're going to hear, is the very first single that I released ever. And even the first full song I ever wrote with lyrics and everything, the whole nine yards. And so this is one of my more prouder pieces. I'm proud of everything that I've released, luckily. But this one has a special place in my heart. And, it's a ballad. It's a very soft ballad. And it took me several months to complete because I had written the verses first, and then it wasn't until about 6 months later at least when I wrote the chorus to it. And I said, you know what, why don't I just marry these two sections? And then the whole idea of it came through. And so it's a love song. It's about unrequited love. But, check it out. And actually, this is the first song I had put a music video to as well. And it got some really great notoriety, has over 10,000 views in the first couple of weeks of it being released on YouTube. So if you want to go check it out, YouTube is the place to go. So let's hit it.
Here we go. We're going to play Get Out of Bed. If you're in bed, you might as well get up and get out of the bed.
Exactly. Things you did and said, baby, I know you've got me led to believe that you're Oh, I still think, you know, that brings back so many memories, that song. I was singing along to it as I was listening to it. So
I do the same thing. Even if I've heard the song for the first time, if I like it, I start singing along like I know the words.
Yeah. That means you're having fun with it. That's the main thing, right? So.
Yep. So
oh,
when
man.
I tonight's show, when I go on the air tonight, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to do a mixture of different genres and play that song.
Because
when I play
okay.
R&B,
I appreciate
it. You know,
oh.
when I play like R&B, there's certain pop songs that even though they're pop,
mm-hmm.
they fit with the R&B, and that song will fit perfectly
wow.
with the R&B.
Oh,
even though it's
wow.
not R&B, it fits.
Oh, okay.
It fits.
Yes. I think you're right. I see what you're saying, where, you know, the rhythm and blues type of vibe, you know, the soul type of thing. I could see that for sure. So I appreciate that. That's awesome. What time is that show?
So when I do my music shows, I always go on at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's really nice. So... Well, yeah, there's also, I had the song remixed as well, and it's also on YouTube, so, you know, it's definitely worth listening to. It has more of a club remix to it.
Oh, so you put a dance beat to it, and now they can hear
mm-hmm.
the mellow side of it, and now they can hear the party side of it.
That's right. You have to have all sorts of angles, right? So...
Yeah, I see that, the party side
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, no, it's the whole process is a lot of fun. Actually, I worked on that song with a friend of mine at the time, and we recorded it in his, like, home studio. So it just goes to show you that you don't need, you know, a ton of, you know, expensive studio equipment. Of course, you want everything top of the line, you know, that's also really good too, but music can happen anywhere and it could be produced anywhere, and you just need some talent behind making it sound really clean and crisp in order to make it sound mainstream, you know, so
yeah.
And the remix version, that's by DJ Express, like I said, that's on my YouTube channel as well,
because like you said, you need someone with good talent, because
mm-hmm.
they're mainstream artists who I've listened to throughout the years. Like, the production of the song is good, but the vocals and lyrics are not. Or it's the opposite, that the vocals is good and not the
mm-hmm.
production. And it's like, I still like the song, but I wish it could have been so much better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree. For sure. So, yeah, you know, it's a mixed bag out there, I guess. So you want to have a good production, because that's what's going to add value to your song and give legitimacy to it, of course. But at the same time, you know, if you just have a piano, let's say, or any acoustic instrument, and you sing along to it, if it's coming from the soul and you're singing with feeling, then that's what's going to really shine.
Yep. See, when I like a song, and it's a good song, and it's a song that I can put on repeat, I call it a repeatable. That song, Getting Out of Bed, I could see it being a repeatable for somebody.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. It really does. Because that's really... all musicians want is anybody who's writing original music, they want to be able to reach the people. And if that's what it does to somebody, it makes them resonate with something in their life and they're able to recall a memory or feel better by listening to the song. That's medicine right there. That you have a superpower, and there's really nothing that's priceless. You can't even describe what that feels like. So that's really nice of you to say. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because even when I'm, like, when I, not artists tell me they're on Spotify, I go to my Spotify, I look them up. But see, the thing about streaming platforms is when you have the same name as another artist, and you, the name come up, you're like, is this the artist? And then when you think of, then you say, oh, let me put it in by the song and not by the name, just in case someone has the same name. And then when the song comes, and sometimes they have the same song title, I'll be like, oh gosh, am I listening to the name?
Yeah,
the same name or the same song title, or if you put it by a song title, you get all these songs with the same title.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So.
Because I have a show called The Indie Experience. So what I did with my Spotify is created a playlist called The Indie Experience where all the artists who I know that I play on the station that have music on Spotify, I made a playlist with their music so people can, you know, when they go through the playlist, they go looking at playlists, any playlist just to listen to, that'll come up and then they'll get to hear music they've never heard before. It's time for me to do a new one. So I'm gonna do a new one. I'm gonna add your music to the when I do the new one. I'm gonna add your music.
Oh,
so
cool.
When people go into the playlist, they'll see, they'll hear your music. They'll say, "Oh, I like this. Let me go check out the rest of her music."
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I'd love to hear all the other music that you have on that playlist too. So, what is it called? The indie playlist?
No, it's called the same title as my show, The Indie Experience.
Oh, The Indie Experience. Okay. Oh, awesome. And it's on Spotify?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. I'll definitely check
that
out.
I tried to do one on, when you don't have a Apple account, you can't do one on Apple. But I don't have an Apple. So I was thinking of doing the same play, because I was trying to do the same playlist and put it on Apple so those who listen to Apple can hear it on Apple, and those who listen to Spotify hear it on Spotify, but I don't have an Apple account, so I couldn't do it. And most of the songs, the art, when you know how to give you the free trial, and I said, let me do it while they give you the free trial, but then when I looked up some of the artists, they don't have their songs. Their songs wasn't coming up, so I was like,
oh gosh, boy.
It ain't gonna
work. No. Oh, gosh. No good. Well, this has been wonderful. I really appreciate you sharing the music and taking the time to chat. And like I said, I think what you're doing is really wonderful. So
yeah, I love doing this. Because like when I first started, I only played whatever music I had. And then when I heard one hip-hop artist's song, I was like, you know what? I like his music so much, I'm going to change the format to cater to the indie artists because they don't get the airplay they deserve. And it's like major radio, all they think about is if you have a big buzz behind you. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
And it's like you're passing by good music. It shouldn't matter if they have a big buzz. If the music is good, that as a radio personality, if the music is good, you should just play it. But you know what major radio, they don't control it. They don't control what they play. They get a list.
That's it. It's controlled by more, you know, business corporate end, you know, not so much if it sounds good anymore. So, I agree. You know, if it sounds good, then why not play it? If you dig it, why not, right?
I say it all the time. I say, y'all, and there's artists that so badly want to be on mainstream radio, and I say to them, when I'm on air, I say they have a set list they have to go, they have to play. Every time they're on air, there's a set list of songs that they have to play.
Yeah.
So even if you happen to get a chance to get played, they're only playing your song once. You're not going to be put in rotation.
Mhm.
They have to, and before they even play your song, they have to play what's on that set list. So if it's 10 songs on that set list that they have to play,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be way at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So by the time
mm-hmm.
they get to play your song, it's probably when they're getting off air, and you're going to be the last song that gets played before they get off air. And it's
yeah.
going to be cut short because the next DJ has to, the next person has to come in and start their show.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's why what you're doing is so special, and you give such a great platform to different musicians and get to know us and connect with the audience so well. So I'm going to be sharing what you're doing and your website to everyone because it's really important. And I really
yeah.
do appreciate it. We've spent a lot of time
it's
together
so awesome.
Talking about different things. Yeah.
And just think, I say no matter when your music came out, if you send it to me and I play it, my listeners are hearing it for the first time. It doesn't matter if
mm-hmm.
it came out in 1980. They're hearing it for
yeah.
the first time, so it's new to them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I
That's
tell
right.
the artists to keep sending their music, keep sending your music, because
yeah.
the show's the archive, so it doesn't matter when you did the interview, doesn't matter when I started playing music. The show's the archive. They can go
yes.
all the way back. If I started in the beginning with your music till now, they can go all the way back to the beginning and listen from the beginning and hear
mm-hmm.
your music.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I definitely think we should do this again, and that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, you should. And just keep sending. Whenever you drop something new, just send
mm-hmm.
it. It'll get played. It'll always stay in rotation.
Cool.
And
I will definitely
artists,
do that.
Like,
Mm-hmm.
I always tell artists, so if you call in, if you call, you listen in, if you don't hear your music, it's because depending on what genre I'm playing for, so I could be, you may tune in, I'm playing hip hop, and you
yeah.
tell yourself, well, I don't hear my song.
Uh-huh.
I'm playing hip hop, so you're not going to hear your song, but not hip hop. So if you hear me
right.
playing pop or music similar to what your genre is,
yeah.
If you don't hear your music because I could have played it at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and depending on when you caught the show, if you didn't catch it from the beginning, then
mm-hmm.
it could have played already. So don't think that I'm not, for the artists out there, don't think I'm not playing your music. I am. It's just you may tune in at a time where I'm not playing that genre, or if I'm playing
right.
that genre, your song could have played already. So you would have to play it back from the archive to hear that your song was played.
Right, right, right. Yes, don't worry, artists out there. Nika knows what she's doing. She will support you, and she has your back. So.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what I do this to help the indie artists out.
Yep.
You know, because I use my social media as well. So if an artist, you know, posts something, oh, I have a new song, and they post
mm-hmm.
a snippet, I will reshare it and say, tell people to check it out.
Cool. Where can we find you on social media?
So on Instagram, it's Road to Stardom.
Okay.
It's spelled T-W-O. So, and on X, which is formerly Twitter, but I still call it Twitter because it's stupid
uh-huh.
to call it X.
All right, cool. I'll
and
definitely check that
way.
Out.
So, because somebody has the name, the actual way I spell it, they have that name.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put T-W-O. So
okay.
And on Instagram is T-W-O. And whenever, you know, people post, you know, when I follow people, the artists, and they post, like, they're going to be performing somewhere or they're dropping new music, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they share a snippet, I repost it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put, you know, Road to Stardom support, and, you know, I share it, and the people that want to take a listen, they'll take a listen. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's a video, if it's a snippet of a video, I'll be sharing that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. No, that's really excellent. I'll definitely follow you, and for those listening, if you want to check out any of my content, again, you could check out Stephanie Lombardo on YouTube or Stephanie Lombardo Official on Instagram, Facebook, and all that jazz, and StephanieLombardo.com. So we got a lot of stuff going on there. But again, Nika, this was such a pleasure. I really appreciate you featuring some songs
so
and
welcome.
Us having a chat about a lot of different things here. So, yeah, this has been excellent.
So before we go, are you
yes.
dropping any music this in the early of the year?
Not in early stages of the year, unless I fast track any of my songs that are currently in pre-production. But be on the lookout because I have plenty of content that I'm working on, and I look forward to releasing something very soon.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And I'll be on the lookout for that to share
cool.
with the people.
All right.
So this has been a great interview with Stephanie Lombardo. So if you want to, like she said, you want to check out her social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out on YouTube, check out her videos. Like, when you go, if you like it, hit the thumbs up. Subscribe
mm-hmm.
to her YouTube page. Check her
yep.
out on Spotify. Add it to your Spotify playlist. If you make playlists on Spotify, add her music to your Spotify playlist. You won't be disappointed.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. All right. Well, I hope to talk to you again real soon.
So we will talk again. So everybody,
yes.
this has been Stephanie Lombardo. And we're going to play her song Closer again.
Ah. Yes, and this is the latest track that was released with Corvez. And you could find out, again, all the music on YouTube, but especially the video for this one on YouTube as well. Just search for my name and Closer.
So here we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that was Closer by Stephanie Lombard. If you like that song, go check it out on all digital streaming platforms and add it to your playlist. I appreciate y'all tuning in to this great interview. I will be back on tonight at 11 p.m. Play a mixture of great music like Stephanie Lombardo's music. So you will get to hear some of her music tonight. That's at 11 p.m. if you're up. I know it's the weekend and people like to go out. So if you're up at 11 p.m., you can tune into the show Friday night in the mix. And you'll be hearing Stephanie's music.
Thank you so much again. I'm not sure if I'm still on, but I appreciate
it. Oh, you are. You are. You are still on.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you. This was a lot of fun.
You're so welcome. So I will be sending Steven like the numbers of when, you know, how many listeners we got for the interview.
Okay,
so you'll
great.
Know how many listeners we got.
Yeah.
You know, people
Sometimes
people don't tune in when it's live, but they tune into the archive when it's archived. So
yes.
You get a lot of listeners that way.
Yeah,
and sometimes
absolutely.
There's people that listen by phone. So they might be on the phone lines just listening in, but see, on this platform, the phone calls don't count.
Right.
I wish
right,
the phone
right.
calls count because sometimes you got more people on the phone than you do on listening by computer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. Would I be able to get a copy of the show, like a file version?
So the link I sent Steve once it's archived, you just click the link and you'll be able to hear it.
Okay, great. So I won't be able to download it or anything, though, right?
No, you can download. When you click the link, it'll have an option if you want to download it.
Oh, great. Excellent. Okay. Sounds good. I think we're still live, so.
Yeah. This is what I like about it is because when it's archived, you can, 10 years from now, you can go back and say, you know what, I was on this radio show, and then you're like, oh, that's right, they did tell me it's archived, and go back and listen. And so you can download it and post it to, like, your blog, for those who have blog sites, you can post it to the blog site, your website, and people can go there and listen.
Oh, perfect. Perfect, yeah. Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to cover?
No, we basically covered everything. You know,
okay.
I asked you some fun questions and you answered them. So now when the people that don't know who you are,
that's right, you gave
that,
me the opportunity.
Like,
that's right. Now I have more of an audience,
like,
thanks
wow,
to you.
Liberace, she was a concert with Liberace, Elvis,
that's right.
Michael Jackson. You know, all these great artists. And
well, go big or go home, so. Yes, that was a great question. I've never been asked that before, so that was a really, really fun one to answer. So, but please keep doing what you're doing. I think you're helping the indie artist community so much, and you're super supportive, and we appreciate you. So thank you so much again. All right.
You're so welcome.
Okay. Well, I look forward to the replay. And you enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You as well.
Thank you so much. All right. Take care.
Okay.
So long.
So long.
Take care.